us have known. Take my life and let it be. What? I don't know if it's in a book or what it is. Is it in the book today? 784. Okay, I didn't see that. You don't have the hymns for ovary projection? Okay. Let it be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you join with me in our confession and absolution? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. But may we delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for each of us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. So God is the one who does this. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you then that forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for the Korean families and other communities that worship here, and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Our prayer for today, the collect. O Lord, you led your ancient people through the wilderness, and you brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world towards the glory of the world to come. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our scripture readings. And I'm not sure who's reading today. Thank you, Brenda.
I'll start then. The first reading from the Old Testament is Genesis 22, 1-18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord came to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. And the responsive reading is Psalm 25, 1-10. To you, O Lord. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Good and upright is the Lord. He leads the humble in what is right. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the epistle reading is from James 12-18. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for today is recorded in the St. Mark, chapter 1, and we're reading from verses 9 to 15. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, but the angels were ministering to him. Now John, after he was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm going to invite you to join Savior when in dust to thee, and I'm going to invite you to be seated for the singing of the hymn. Savior, when in dust, and peace from our God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to be taking a look at some of the tests and temptations that come our way, and we're looking at biblical people, and we're going to see some of the testing that they've gone through. But before we do that, would you bow with me, please, in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, help us to understand that you don't tempt us, but you test us, and you test us to see our faithfulness. You've done this from the very beginning of time, and you will do this until we are with you in heaven. Father, as we turn to your word, I pray that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. For we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I don't know how many of you remember any of the testing you've gone through. When you were growing up, your parents probably gave you little tests and you didn't even know they were tests. And one of the things that happened in our house was that before we ever came for breakfast, all of our beds had to be nicely made, looking nice, and the room had to be cleaned up. You couldn't have breakfast without a clean room and a made-up bed. And you had to have been to the washroom, washed your face, or had a shower, and all sparkling clean, and even brushed your teeth before breakfast. And then we could come to breakfast. That was the way it was. And so, just before breakfast, my mother would make the rounds and check the house, make sure all the beds were made, and make sure we were all sparkling clean. Very simple test. Very simple thing to... We went to school then, and what happened is, every once in a while, our teachers gave us tests. Do you remember those tests and what they were like? Sometimes they wouldn't tell you they were giving you a test. Other times they would say, you're going to have a test on Friday, make sure you study this, and then you'd have your test. Well, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, first thing he did to them, gave them a test. He did something very simple. Created a beautiful, beautiful garden. In the garden, there was one tree that God said, you shall not eat. And God said, okay, we'll see what happens. What happened is that Satan came along, tempted Eve, and she ate from the tree. Eve failed the test. She gave some to Adam. He ate from the tree, failed the test. And the very first test, they failed. As we start to walk through the scriptures, we see all sorts of different kinds of tests. And tests occur in different ways. They come in different forms, and there are different kinds of testing that we receive. In going through the scriptures, I found that there are different kinds of tests. There are very difficult tests. Remember Noah was asked to build an ark. And he was going to build this ark, and then it would float on the water. Do you know how long it took him? 100 years to build that ark so it would float out there and he could have all the different animals. But he passed the test, and so we see that. Some tasks are difficult tasks. There's another kind of a test, and it can be a challenge. It may be involving a major change. And this happened to Abraham. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said to him, I want you to change your address. I want you to go to the Promised Land. So he and the family, they all made their way to Haran, and they got partway there, and then they stopped. And again, God spoke to him, and I says, I want you to go to the Promised Land, to Canaan. And so Abraham picked up Sarah, and the two of them began their journey to the Promised Land. That was a difficult test, but they were able to pass that test. We find another test as well, and this is called a delayed test. Remember Abraham and Isaac, God had promised them that they would have a child. And what happened is, Abraham was over 90 years old. And so was Sarah. She was up in that age group. And still no child. And so Sarah offers her handmaiden, Hannah. Abraham failed that test, and so did Hannah. There's another kind of a test, and it's an unsolved problem. Unsolvable problem. And this is what Abraham and I and Sarah were facing as well. Because what happened is, Sarah had probably gone through menopause, so she wouldn't be able to have any children. Abraham was 99 years old at this time, and all of a sudden God says, you know, you're going to have a child. An unsolvable problem. They hadn't had any children of their own. They'd had the one from Hannah, or from the maiden Egyptian girl, but not from Sarah. And so very unsolvable problem, and there are tests that involve that. There are tests as well that are sensing losses. And this is what we're going to be dealing with today, is that Abraham all of a sudden has a son, Isaac, and after that, then God says, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, your only son. And so we're going to be taking a look at that in just a moment. There's another kind of a test that we have, and this is a prolonged pain test. And some of you have gone through that. You've gone through excruciating pain. And I think of some of the people in the scriptures that have gone through this. I think of Moses, 40 years in the wilderness with the people of Israel, 40 years that he had to bear the sufferings of leading these people. I think of Paul and all the things he went through, and he shares in the scriptures all the different challenges that he faced, and being attacked, being stripped, being beaten, and all the different things that he went through. And so there are the different kinds of tests that we have. Well, let's go into our scriptures for today. And this is a very, very different kind of an account that we have here today. It's an account, some people have said, it's an account of abuse of God and a misguided Abraham. I remember a pastor that I knew, and he ended up leaving the Lutheran Church and leaving the Christian faith because he says, I just can't understand a God that would ask for his son to be a man to go and sacrifice his son. And it just bothered him so much. I've talked with him about that. And it was just so hard for him to understand this. But this is what we see here as we're going to take a look at our passage today. And I share with you some pictures. I put a sheet inside the bulletin with some pictures at the top there. And what that is, you see God calling Abraham. On the very first picture, there are four little pictures there. These are all done in ceramic tiles, little tiles, and they're placed along a wall. And so you can see them there. And you see Abraham being called by God, and he's asked to go and sacrifice his son in the first picture. The second thing we see is that Abraham goes, and he takes his son, and they begin their journey. And then we see the little donkey there, and the little boy, and the dad going. And then we come to the scene where they're on Mount Moriah, which is where Jerusalem, that's where the Temple Mount was. And that's where Jesus went. And we see that there's going to be the sacrifice of Jesus there. And then what we see right next to that is all of a sudden, there's a lamb that's caught in the thicket. The lamb becomes the substitute for Isaac. He is not sacrificed, and instead he's allowed to be free. And it's so interesting that this happens in this way. I put on the sheet here some of the different things that I've put, and I said that on the sheet I've put that the mountain is called the Mountain of Abada. What does that mean? It's the Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, the Mountain of the Binding of Isaac, and that's the Hebrew word for it, Akbaha, and Abada, and just a very simple word, but it means the binding of a son, the binding of Isaac that we see there. And so God prepares Abraham for the test. Abraham is to go to a land. And he does several tests on Abraham. And some of these tests, Abraham passes. Some of them he doesn't pass. And God likes to test us. And I don't understand why God would do this. But he tests our faithfulness. And that's what the whole theme for today is about. Is that God tests us. And he's testing us to see if we would be faithful in what he asks us to do. God tests Abraham, first of all, and tells him to go to a land that's going to be, he'll become the father of a great nation when he goes to that land. Then there's a second test. God promises Abraham that he will be the father of a great nation. But Abraham doesn't see this. The test is there, but no children, no nothing for so long. And then there's a third test, the long years of Sarah's barrenness, as they wait for a son, but nothing happens. And then finally it does happen. And then there's another test, the birth of Ishmael, a servant girl of Hagar. Here Abraham and Sarah both fail the test because instead of waiting for the promised son, they went and they tried to have a substitute son. And that was not right. And then there's a test number five, the impossible birth of Isaac. Both so old, so impossible to happen, and yet the boy comes and he's called laughter. And then there's a sixth test that happens, and this is the sacrifice of Isaac on Mount Moriah, where Abraham is told, you go and sacrifice your only son. And this time, without hesitation, Abraham takes his son. And they begin that journey, a 3 days' journey. They leave their servants behind, and they go up onto Mount Moriah, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. That's the other name for it. And they go there, and Abraham prepares everything ready for the sacrifice of his son, binds his son, puts the wood on. Everything is ready. Takes his sword or his knife, and he's going to stab his son and kill him, and preparing for the sacrifice. And then the angel of the Lord stops him, and God speaks to him and saying, God says, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham says, here am I. And this is exactly what we see happening. And God says, there's a lamb caught over here. Don't you touch your son. I know that you're faithful. And this is so important, that we would be faithful to God. I put down here too. I was reading in my reading and preparing for the sermon, and the way the Jewish people would look at this, and you know, very often we're told that the Jewish people like to argue with God. And this is what I put down on your sheet for you today. I said, God said, take your son. Abraham said, I have two sons. God answered him, your only son. And then Abraham says, each one is the only son of his mother. And God says to him, the one whom you love, Abraham goes and answers, is there any limit to a father's love? And finally God says, Isaac, the one son that is the promised son. He's the one I have to sacrifice. I put that in there for you just so that you can understand that when the Jewish people tell the story of Isaac and Abraham, what they do is they share the story, and they always share what's written between the lines. If you read Hebrew, you discover very quickly that they just give you the basic story, and there's a story behind the lines. And you can tell that Abraham didn't want to sacrifice his only son. And yet this little story in the Hebrew is given to us so that God gets the message through that I want you to sacrifice that which is most precious to you. I'm putting you to the test here. And so that's what we see. We see the two of them. We see Abraham and Isaac walking and making their way to Mount Moriah. And it's such a beautiful story. It's such an interesting account as we read that story. And I share this again. It says, so Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two young men with him and his son Isaac, cut the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place which God told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said to the young men, stay here. I and the boy will go over and worship. That's what he tells them. And come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. Took his hand, in his hand, the fire and the knife, and they both of them went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so they both of them went on together. And they came to the place that God told them. And so they arrive at this place. And what's so beautiful about this story is that the place that they arrive at is later going to be the same place that God brings his own son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and where Jesus would be crucified and die and give his life for each one of us. Abraham is to give his son, but God provides a lamb. And then for us as well, God would condemn us to death because of our sin. But God provides the lamb, and the lamb is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And he is the one that's going to be sacrificed on that same hill. Here, hundreds and hundreds of years before, God prepares a type, a pattern, of what he is going to do with his son, Jesus, as we follow through the scriptures today. Let's continue on in our passage for today. We see that God allows Abraham now to come to the place where he's going to offer the sacrifice. And there's one little phrase that keeps on repeating itself, and it's the little phrase, here I am, in the Hebrew, hinin. Just a very simple little phrase. Here I am. Hinin. I'm here, Lord. God calls Abraham. Abraham says, Hinin. I'm here. Isaac is talking to his father, and the father says, Hinin, here am I. And again, later on, God calls down to Abraham, and Hinin, here I am. The two of them are in dialogue together. They're talking and sharing. But what happens is, God's words come. as Abraham has bound his son now and is ready to sacrifice him, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to him and says, "Do not lay your hands on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God and that you have not withheld your only son from me." And this is precisely what God does with Jesus, except Jesus goes and gives his life for us that we might have forgiveness of our sins and become living relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. But what we find then happening is that God provides the lamb, just exactly like Abraham said would happen. There's the ram caught in the thickets. Abraham goes over and gets the lamb, unties Isaac, and puts the lamb on the altar, kills the ram, and the lamb is sacrificed for them. Over and over, you've heard me share this at other services that we've had here, that when we start to talk about the lambs of God, we talk about the different kinds of lambs that were killed for the sins of God's people. When we look into the book of Genesis, we saw that Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. What does God do for them? They go and they hide themselves with, put leaves around themselves to protect themselves and show that they're not naked. What God does after he's walked with them and after they've sinned, he forgives them and shares a message with each of them. Then God provides skins from a lamb for them, and he covers them. In other words, a little lamb dies for Adam and Eve. Here we see a little lamb that's dying, or a ram that's dying for Abraham. We start to see this happening again at the Passover, when the people of Israel are going to leave from the land of Egypt, and a little lamb dies, and the lamb dies for that nation of Israel. And then we see it happening again as well, when Jesus goes to the cross, and Jesus becomes the Lamb of God. And what was it, the words of John the Baptist? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," as he looks towards Jesus, before Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. These are some of the things that we see. There are some life lessons that we have from this as well. Number one, Abraham and his descendants become the means by which God has chosen to bless the whole world. It would come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that Jesus would be born into that family, and he becomes the Savior for the world. And this is such an important part of what we have happening. There's another lesson too, that God has blessed each one of us because of Jesus, Abraham's descendant, our Savior. Well, let's go on a little bit farther today. You know, even in our psalm for today, we find that there's some testing that takes place. The psalm for today reminds us that godly wisdom and direction and purpose come from God's Word. When we're facing testing in life, there's one place that we can turn, and it's an important place to turn, to make certain that we are going to walk right with God. And this is to God's Word. We can look for human wisdom. We can try to go to university. We can go to schooling in our high schools. We can take trade courses, everything else. But does that prepare us for meeting God? No, it doesn't. There's only one book in the whole world that really prepares us for meeting with God. And this is the Bible. Because the Bible tells us that we are sinners, and that we ourselves need God's love and grace and favor in order for us to be forgiven for our sins. The world's knowledge doesn't tell us that. In fact, it goes just the opposite direction. And it says, yeah, you can become whatever you want to be, you can do what you want to do, and that's the way the world goes. Many of the people have left our churches, and they followed the ways of the world. And that's what can happen. But this is not God's way. God's way is to turn to his Word. And this Word becomes very precious. And this is what we see as we read through the psalm. We read, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For I wait for you all day long." Over and over, the psalmist is writing to us, and the other writers of Scripture write to us, and they say, the only way that we can find our way to heaven is through the Word of God. This is the place where we discover God's salvation for us, through his Word. And when we study the Word, we discover that it's not just by keeping his laws, he gives us the laws in the Old Testament, but we discover that God then gives us his Son, and Jesus dies for us, for we are saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's where our salvation comes from. And so when we walk through the psalm, this is what we see. God's Word is very important. It provides for us both law and gospel. It helps us to know our sin and to discover the solution for our sin, which is repentance and then trusting in Jesus Christ for forgiveness. And this is what we see. Prayer is so important. Through prayer we confess our sin and shortcomings. We ask for forgiveness with our dependence upon God. We pray to receive His Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us as we walk through life. Well, there's another passage for today that talks about testing as well. And this is the passage that comes from the book of James. How does this passage begin, the book of James? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes of dispersion, to all of Israel, and to everybody. Greetings. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you suffer various trials, or when you go through various testings of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfast have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God allows us to go through tests, that we might be the kinds of people He wants us to be, that we would be living for Him and honor Him in every area of our life. One of the things that I put down is contemplation that we find in this passage. We can find joy in the midst of the problems when we're being tested. And I put this, that when we recognize that their purpose and result. And this is exactly what we saw with Abraham and with Isaac. They were tested, and they were faithful. And this is precisely what happens. The key is always the perspective. We're called to think correctly about our problems and understand that God will give us these so that we can work through to a solution and we become stronger in our faith and our walk. Another one is supplication. God gives us trials so that we can grow in our prayer relationship with Him. If we lack wisdom, it is essential to ask God for wisdom. That's what we find in James. That James is telling us, if you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you. But don't ask with any doubts in your mind. Just go and ask for it. God uses faithful people like prophets and apostles and pastors and committed Christians and leaders to assist us in our faith and our walk. And then expectation. When we ask God for wisdom, we ask in faith, expecting His answer. And as we gain perspectives and trust God for wisdom, the only thing left is to anticipate solutions. And this is what God will give. He will give answers. This is why we're called upon to pray and ask the Lord. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And the reward for our faithfulness is the kingdom of God. God will give to us a crown of life, eternal life, with our Lord. Well, there's the last passage for today's scriptures as well, and that'll sum it up. And this is from the gospel for today. The gospel is in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. A very simple gospel, and it talks about three different things. Number one, Jesus' baptism. Why do we see all three of them put together in one passage? Because baptism, Jesus says, I have to be baptized for righteousness' sake. This is God's will, and it's His plan. And so Jesus is tested at that point. Are you going to be baptized? Jesus said yes. To fulfill all righteousness, I will be baptized. Even though I don't need baptism, because He is holy, He has not sinned or anything else, He still goes through this to fulfill all righteousness, and He identifies with you and with me. And that's really an important thing as well. Then there's a second thing that we see as we walk through the gospel reading for today, is that the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus. As Jesus is being baptized, the Spirit rests upon Him. And the third thing is that the Father speaks from heaven. The Spirit rests upon Jesus and comes upon Him in fullness and power. But then the Father's voice said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm very pleased. I'm just so appreciative. He's done everything. He's passed every test. This is it. At least it seems that every test has been passed. But, as we read on a little bit further, we see that, no, the Spirit then takes Jesus and leads Him into the wilderness. And then for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus is going to undergo testing. More testing. He's passed the baptismal test. He has been faithful, fulfilling all righteousness. That's what the other Gospels tell us. But now He goes into the wilderness, and He has 40 days of being tested. It's not just people from the Old Testament and the New Testament that are tested. It's not just you and I. But Jesus goes through this testing. But the testing, the one who's testing Him is Satan. And Satan is coming after Him with temptations. the testing with temptations. God doesn't provide the temptations. God provides testing, but Satan provides temptations. And so what we see then is, we see the same tests that Adam and Eve went through. There's the lust of the flesh. Turn these rocks into bread, and everything will be fine. He's going to have to satisfy his bodily needs. That's what Satan is trying to get him to do. That's what Satan did with Eve. And she simply said, hey, taste of the fruit of this tree. It's good for food. Just identically. Same kind of thing. Then there's the lust of the eyes. And Satan took Jesus and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I'll give these to you if you fall down and worship me. No, Jesus says, no, you don't do that. And he's part of the kingdom of God, so he just simply says, no, my rightful inheritance is with my Father in heaven. Remember Eve? She looked at the fruit. Looks good to eat. The lust of the eyes. All the kingdoms of the world for Jesus. Just the fruit for Eve. And then there's the pride of life. Satan says, cast yourself down. Takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. Cast yourself down. People will say, that's an amazing thing if you do that. Really important. No. See, Jesus refused to do that. Satan is trying to say, die now. But Jesus says, no. It's going to be on the cross. That's what it's going to be. For Eve, just makes one wise. Pride, again, coming in for Eve. She listens to Satan, and she falls for it, and eats of that tree. But Jesus refuses to fall for temptations and the testings of Satan. Absolutely refuses in every one of them. And Satan departs from him and leaves him. And then the third part of our message for today is so simple. Because of the testings past, he's gone through baptism, he's gone through the testings by Satan, Jesus goes out and he begins to proclaim the message. The message is so simple. John the Baptist now has been put into prison. He's no longer preaching. But Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. What that really says is the Messiah, he is the Messiah. I've come and here I am. Believe in me. Put your faith and your trust in me and you will have the fulfillment of everything that you need. You're going to have your sins forgiven and you will have a new life in the kingdom of God, and forever and ever be with the Lord. What is the final application of our message for today? Very simple. Very simple. That God allows tests to happen in life, and he seeks that we would be faithful and walk close to him. That we would turn to his word for our understanding as we walk through the tests. And even though we go through the tests, even as Jesus went through the tests, as others have gone through the tests in the Bible, and as you read through the Bible, you can read about all the different people. You can read about Adam and Eve. You can read about Cain and Abel. They failed the test. We can go on and start to see so many of the others. We can see Noah, and he passed the test. Joseph, and he passed the tests. We see Job, and he's going through the pain and the suffering, but he passed the test. We see Peter, and Peter didn't pass the test. Remember? You're going to deny me three times, Jesus said. Peter failed the test. And then we see Daniel. But Daniel passed the test. He was faithful to the Lord. And we see Nehemiah. He was faithful to the Lord and rescued his people. We see Jonah. Jonah failed the first time, but he passed the test the second time. And we see all of these testings. And there are so many more that I could share from Scripture. But the core key for us is that we would be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've reminded us that we too are going through tests. There's so many different kinds of testing too. And Father, we would pray that through your Holy Spirit filling and empowering us, we would be faithful to your word, and faithful to your will, and faithful to your ways. That we would be true to Jesus, that we would trust in him as our Savior and our Lord. For there is salvation given in no other name under heaven, given amongst in the earth, whereby we can be saved. Father, this is where our salvation comes, is through Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death on the cross. Thank you, Father, that Jesus was faithful, and he died and gave his life for us. And Father, we would pray that we would be faithful unto death, and that you would give us that crown of life. For we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join with me as we now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? I invite you to stand for the confession of faith as you are able. From the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I'm going to invite you to join with me as we join in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather together today, we thank you for the country that you have blessed us with. You've blessed us with a country with so many resources, a country that's so large, a country with lakes and rivers, a country that produces grains and all the food that's necessary. It's good for the beasts of the field and for the animals that we have. And Father, it's even better for each one of us. You've blessed us with such a beautiful nation, with hills and mountains and valleys and streams and plains. And we have nothing to give you but our praise and our thanks. We pray this day that you'd be with our government, be with those who are serving us, and pray that they would be faithful to your word, and that they would honor your word, and that faithfulness would be a part of their lives. Father, we pray for our families. We pray your blessings upon our families, that they would be faithful to you. We pray for our leaders in our communities, and pray that they too would be faithful to you, and they would be obedient to your will and to your word and to your ways. Father, we pray that you'd be with those who are sick and have special needs. We pray for healing for those that we mentioned before you in our hearts, those who are sick within our congregation, those who have all the special needs. And Father, we, more than anything else, we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would move amongst the people of our land, that we would be a people who would be faithful to you, that we would trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Father, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated as we receive our gifts and our offerings and tithes.